Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA final.
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you. Travis Anderson in the studio with us today as, well, we gear up for what should be a fun show. We're going to talk some local sports. Last night here on KOAL, the Emory Spartans earned a big victory over the North Sampete Hawks. It was a six-point win, but at the same time, it was a double-digit victory. North Sampete hit a couple of three-point shots right at the end of the game to make it a six-point contest. Huge win for Emory. If you missed it last night, we caught up with Kyson Stilson. He was the Senator David Hinkins player of the game. If you missed that interview, I'm going to play that for you in just a bit here on the show today. Also, we're going to be joined by Carbon Dino basketball coach Kyle Wilson. That's coming up in just a few minutes as well. Next segment, he's going to join us on the show. Travis, I want to talk some Super Bowl, some NFL today, but I will start by talking some NBA basketball. I want to get your thoughts on this because I joined another show earlier today. They were curious as to what I thought of it, and I'll give you my opinion in just a moment. A story that broke last night that LeBron James would entertain the idea of talking with the Golden State Warriors in free agency. That was the big story last night. It actually trumped the Super Bowl. Everybody was talking about this last night, the idea that LeBron would entertain the idea of going to Golden State. Your thoughts?
Sure, and anybody's going to throw out money at you, contract-wise, you'll entertain the offer. If Dallas told him that they would throw a certain amount at him, or Portland, or whoever it may be, you're going to listen. I just don't think it's realistic.
I think it is realistic. I really do. I think that people should pay attention to this maybe a little bit more than the whole, yeah, I'm sure. Because I was going to go over Golden State's salary this morning. And yesterday we had Jameson Welsh on the show, and it was ironic because he said, don't sleep on Golden State. That's a team that could make some moves at the trade deadline. They could make some things work. So I'm looking around. The rumor says that if Golden State could throw a max contract at LeBron James, they would look at bringing him in, or he would look at signing with them at the end of the season. Now, would Golden State actually go this route? I don't know. Probably not, because this team's going to win a championship this year. They're going to be the front runners to win again next year. As long as they have Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, they're the front runners. Here's what's interesting. If they could possibly move Klay Thompson, who's going into the last year of his contract right next season, and Andre Iguodala, they could offer LeBron James a max contract. That means they could keep Steph Curry. They could keep Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant would have to decline a player option and take a pay cut, which I think Kevin Durant would do. There's a really, it's not like a large obstacle for Golden State to make this work. It's possible. It's in the realm of possible. And this is why I'm telling people, take this serious. I think there's three or four teams that could land LeBron this offseason because I think he's done in Cleveland. And that's a whole other conversation. We could talk for an hour on why I think he's done in Cleveland. That does include the fact that Dan Gilbert is trying to sell, or at least entertaining offers to sell the team. You don't do that when you have the greatest player in the world on your franchise. So I think he's done. I think he's finished in Cleveland at the end of the year, regardless if they win a title or not. I think he's done. Okay, so with that being said, I think we could agree on three teams that could possibly land LeBron James. What this guy has done over the course of his career leads me to believe that he would have no problem signing with the Golden State Warriors. I go on a show earlier today with a great friend of ours, EJ Christian, who does a show, and we were talking about this, and he said, you know, you got to consider the legacy of LeBron. Look, his legacy's already set. He's jumped from the Cavs to the Heat, back to the Cavs, and he has done that to play with two All-Stars. All right, now, I know the Lakers seem like a team that could definitely land LeBron, but if he doesn't have two All-Stars coming in with him, it's a long shot. That's the way I view that. You go to Golden State, you have three All-Stars waiting for you. And I'm telling you right now, if you had LeBron, KD, Curry, and Draymond Green, they may win 75 games. Like, that team would probably win 75 games. I think it's a realistic threat. And I think it's something that people need to pay attention to. We said the same thing when the rumor popped up about Kevin Durant going to OKC. That was something that popped up middle of the year. It was. I remember it. And so we're talking about, could KD actually go to Golden State? And a lot of people thought, you know, Kevin Durant's not that guy. He's the face of Oklahoma City. He's not that guy. It's not in his pedigree to do that. And then they lose to Golden State in seven games. And you think there's no way he's going to join that team. What's he do? He joins that team. He wins an NBA championship because, of course, he does. I could see LeBron doing the same thing. I really could.
I don't. I just don't see. I think LeBron cares too much about his reputation to jump to a team like Golden State, kind of like Durant did. So I'm not going to take it serious because I just don't think it's serious.
I think it is. I got to disagree with you here. But here's the next question. Is it bad for the NBA if LeBron was to sign with Golden State? Let's say, I know you don't believe it's even legitimately truthful in any way, but let's say it happens. Is it good or bad for the league?
It's bad for the league because you only have one team, and that one team is going to run with it, and they're going to win multiple championships. So it's bad for the NBA if LeBron goes to Golden State.
See, I think it's right now, I think there's only one team. I really do. I view the NBA like in three or four tiers, okay? Golden State's the only tier one team in the league. James Harden may be the MVP, especially after what he pulled the other night, where he dropped 60 points and recorded a triple-double. It was incredible. No one has ever done that. I get it. I don't want to discredit anything that Houston has accomplished. They're still not on the level of Golden State. They cannot beat the Warriors in a seven-game set. Barring any massive injury, there's one team right now in the NBA, and it's Golden State.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's it, right
you,
now.
You have, right now you have the Warriors and everybody else is chasing.
You do. You do.
And nobody's going to beat that team four times in 2 weeks.
No, it's not going to happen, barring any massive injury.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have fun stories in the NBA right now. I mean, the Raptors have been a fun story. If you haven't watched Toronto, and I'm sure Jazz fans have because the Jazz just recently played Toronto, I'm telling you, that's a fun team. Minnesota is a fun team. Philadelphia is an up-and-coming team. I've actually met a lot of kids who are interested in the Philadelphia 76ers. It's a fun team. You know, you've had the fun storylines in L.A. The Jazz have someone like Donovan Mitchell. There are fun storylines to follow in the NBA, but there's only one legitimate team that can win an NBA championship right now. And that, at least in my mind, everyone is chasing Golden State. Here's the thing I've noticed. When you have a super team, it attracts casual fans. Lighthearted casual fans. It doesn't affect ratings. I don't know that it would be bad for the league, but I'm telling you from a diehard perspective, I'm going to watch because I'm a diehard, but at the same time, it loses a little luster. So I really don't know if it's good or bad, but you're saying this is a moot point anyway. There's no way he goes to Golden State.
No, 0%. And that's where I'm not taking it serious because it just I don't think it's going to happen.
I got to take it serious. Look, nothing this guy does surprises me. Nothing.
No.
He left Cleveland to go play with two All-Stars.
Yeah.
When that ran its course, he had to go back to Cleveland, and he was preaching patience, right? And then he forced a trade that landed Kevin Love.
Yeah, this is the team that he built and wanted, and now it's falling apart, and he wants out. He's not happy there.
And, no, he's not.
And he's not going to last after this year in Cleveland.
That's as much time as I want to spend on this topic, but I'm telling you, that is a legitimate threat. Because if Golden State can move on from Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala and grab LeBron James, they would do it in a heartbeat. They would do it in a heartbeat. They'd have to do it. You don't look towards the future because right now your team is built for the now. So
always think ahead to now instead of the future. That's what you
absolutely.
Should always do. Yeah,
absolutely. So if Golden State can maneuver a couple of contracts around to make it work, look, they could sign you and I to that team if they were to add LeBron James, keep Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. Now, there would be some, you know, again, KD would have to take a little bit of a pay cut. I think he'd be open to doing that. I think that team would win 75 games, regardless of who sits on that bench. I think it's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't think it happens. Okay, let me make that clear. I don't think it happens, but I think it's possible because nothing that guy does surprises me anymore. Let's move on and talk about the Super Bowl here. Rob Gronkowski has been cleared to play. Were you a little bit worried about the Gronk in this game?
No, I wasn't worried. Plenty of time off, 2 weeks to recover from that. Knew all along Gronk would play.
We'll talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl later on this edition of the show. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight because there is a full slate of games. And by full slate, I mean five. We get Memphis at Detroit, 5 o'clock hour. Toronto will take on Washington at 5 p.m. Milwaukee travels to Minnesota at 6. I like that matchup there an awful lot. I mean, really. Milwaukee... Without Jason Kidd, I know that's kind of been the talk around the Milwaukee Bucks. But Giannis, that again, that's another storyline in the NBA, right? Milwaukee is underachieved, but they have one of the most entertaining players in the game in the Greek Freak. And now they go up against Minnesota, who, honestly, I can say Minnesota's probably been my favorite team to watch on TV this year.
Mine too. I love what the Timberwolves are doing. They're a fun team. That's a great matchup. It's a fun young matchup between two young teams.
Unfortunately, it's not the nationally televised game tonight. Instead, it's Houston at San Antonio. Yeah, I get that. The Rockets have played great ball as of late, and if I had to vote for an MVP right now, it would in fact be James Harden. 8:30 tonight, second game of that nationally televised doubleheader. OKC will take on the Denver Nuggets. Speaking of teams and storylines, OKC has found their way.
They are. They're playing much better. You know it would take some time for them to gel, but they're finally coming around to the team that we expected them to be.
Yeah, they won 8 out of their last 10 right now, just 2 back in Minnesota for the 4 spot in the Western Conference. Coming up next segment, we're going to talk to Carbon High School boys basketball coach Kyle Wilson, and of course we'll have some more NFL football talk coming your way. It's a Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We're back after this.
I enjoy working with kids. I want to be a teacher, but don't know where to start. If this sounds like you, then USU Eastern's bachelor's degree in education may be the right path for you. A bachelor's degree can generally be completed with 2 additional years of study following the completion of an Associates of Science or Associates of Arts degree. USU Eastern has the lowest tuition in the state and many financial aid options available. For more information, call 613-5000. USU Eastern. Take on new heights.
Buying a new car or truck can be stressful, especially when money is tight. Adams Motor can help ease the stress with their financing program. Just simply go to their website, adamsmotor.net, click on the financing tab, and fill out a secure loan application. Adams' secure loan application is fast and easy to fill out, and saves you the time of trying to secure a loan through another lender. Put your income tax return to good use this year. Go to adamsmotor.net and fill out a secure loan application today. Adams Motor, 550 East Main Street in Price.
Carbon Print and Design wants to be your graphic designer. We cover it all, from business cards and professional quality brochures that grab your business the attention it needs, to unforgettable customized invitations and cards for any occasion. Enhance your business's brand by letting us design a unique logo for your business cards, letterhead, and flyers. With the knowledgeable and experienced graphic designers at Carbon Print and Design, nothing gets between you and your creativity. If you've got an idea, we can bring it to life. Carbon Print and Design on 86 East, 100 South in Price.
Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Last night on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team earned a monumental 81-76 win over the North Stampede Hawks on the road, their first road region win of the 2018 season. The Spartans were led by just 5 scorers, but it was Kyson Stilson, who finished with 27 points to go along with 8 rebounds. Easton Gordon chipped in with 21 points. Kate Brazier added 17, and Brax Jensen scored 16. The Spartans were dynamic throughout the game. They scored 24 points in the first quarter, 17 in the second, 15 in the third, and closed out the game by scoring 25 in the fourth. On the flip side, North Stampede's senior night was ruined despite a 20-point performance from Sean Taylor. Ignacio Vasquez chipped in with 11, and Spencer Stedman scored 17, 10 of which came in the opening quarter. Now, the win for Emory improves them to 4-5 on the region season. The Spartans will next take the court on Friday. That'll be a home contest with the Manti Templars and an opportunity for Emory to possibly move into third place in Region 15. Friday's contest will air live on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, and you can also stream audio live at CastleCountryRadio.com. Live coverage will begin at 6:30 with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show, followed by tip-off at 7. Now we stick with high school basketball, but we move over to Carbon High, and the Dinos snapped a 5-game losing skid, improving to 4-6 in region play as they top Macer Prep 65-56 at home. The Dinos were led in this contest by Jordan Vasquez, who scored 19 points. He knocked down 4 shots from beyond the arc. Derek Hillam contributed 15, and Colin Lewis scored 11. Ryan Gagan was right behind with 9 points. The Dinos are now sitting in 5th place in the Region 14 standings at 4-6, a half game back of the Juab Wasps, who are at 4-5. Union, Delta, and Providence Hall all have 2 losses at the top of the Region 14 standings. Now, while Emory will return to the basketball court on Friday, the Dinos will take the rest of the week off. Today on KOL's Drive Time Sports, we're going to catch up with Carbon boys basketball coach Kyle Wilson. We'll talk about last night's victory and what lies ahead for Carbon. Next Wednesday, they play host to the Union Cougars before wrapping up the regular season at home against ALA. That'll be next Friday. We take a look at the schedule for the high school sports scene. And tonight, the Emory Lady Spartans will return to the court to meet the Manti Templars in the second and final contest of the year between the two. Emory has won 8 consecutive games since losing the region opener to Richfield. Tonight's contest is set for 7 p.m. And the Carbon Lady Dinos will have the night off. They have a bye week before wrapping up the regular season next week. And like the Carbon Lady Dinos, the USU Eastern men and women's basketball teams will also sit tonight out. They'll return to the court on Saturday to take on the College of Southern Idaho. And we end by talking about fishing. On January 24th, Buckley Jolly, who was a Pleasant Grove resident, caught a new record 30.5-inch splake fish out of Joes Valley Reservoir. It's Utah's new catch and release record for the species. The Division of Wildlife Resources made the new record official on January 24th, and it passes the previous catch and release record for a splake, which was 29 inches. That fish was also caught and released at Joes Valley Reservoir. That was all the way back in 2015. Splake are a hybrid cross between lake trout and brook trout, and they carry a desirable traits from both parent species. Splake provide memorable opportunities for anglers while also serving as a component of healthy fisheries in Salt Lake Reservoir. You can get more information on this story by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. While you are visiting CastleCountryRadio.com, do not forget to click on the Drive Time Sports link. It's there you'll find access to all kinds of on-demand content, including audio from recent coaches' interviews. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Are you enjoying this program? Because if you are, quite possibly so are your potential customers. Radio is the only true mobile medium. In the car, at work, and at play, radio is there. The companion and the advertising force your customers take with them wherever they go. With radio advertising, you are front and center in the listener's attention span when your ad's on the air. Keep enjoying this program and let your business reap the rewards, too, by becoming a sponsor. For more information, call our station, 637-1167.
Even if your driving record isn't spotless, mistakes do happen. Hi, this is Roy Nickus from Price Insurance. You may have had a few accidents or haven't had any auto insurance for a while. At Price Insurance, we can provide insurance protection even if you've made a few mistakes. Multiple companies with flexible payment options, discounts, and the ability to reduce your premium as your record improves.
Visit Price Insurance near the corner of Main and First West.
Hello, sports fans.
Time for sports.
Let the games begin.
Turn on the radio.
It's time to talk high school basketball on the Coach's Corner.
Back on the Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. We're going to talk some high school basketball, local style. Today, joining us over the phone, we have Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbon Dinos, who ended a 5-game losing skid last night by topping Mazer Prep at home. Coach, it's great to get you on and talk about last night's game. Thank you for the time today.
Well, it's good to be here.
I mentioned it, Coach, 5-game losing skid. It's now done. Sometimes you just need one breakthrough performance to kind of erase that taste and kind of recharge the batteries. And let's hope that was the case last night, a much-needed win for you guys in league play.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge win for us, especially in league play. I mean, and, you know, I hate to talk about the 5-game losing streak, but, you know, we kind of talked about this before we got on here about, you know, we were in some close games, a few games I feel like we very easily could have won. But, you know, we came out on the wrong end with those. And, you know, coming into last night, we knew it was a game that was winnable, but we also knew we couldn't take that team lightly. They're a big team. They're a scrappy bunch. They jumped out on us, you know, scored 22 points in the first quarter. And I didn't, I wasn't really concerned about it. Our guys were kind of hyped up, and we settled down and, you know, ended up taking the lead and just kind of ran with it from there. But last night was a big win, you know, for the team. And last night I think was probably our best team win of the season. You know, we had 3 guys in double figures, 1 guy with 9. So it was a good team victory, you know, on the defensive and the offensive end for us. And, you know, they made it close in the end and hit a couple shots. But, you know, we hung on to it, and I kind of enjoy those wins where they, you know, the other team kind of makes it tight, and you figure out a way to withstand it, you know, make some free throws down the stretch, and, you know, pull it out.
When you get to the locker room, Coach, following a five-game skid like that and the boys can celebrate a victory, is it relief? Is it joy? Is it quiet? I mean, what's the reaction from a team, especially last night in the locker room following that win?
You know, for me, it's I just love seeing the guys excited. You know, it doesn't matter what happens. And you know, they're excited any win they get, but especially after that, they knew they needed that one. And they were excited last night, and I'm just happy to see those guys celebrate. You know, I mean, that's not about coaches. It's not about anything. It's about seeing those guys, you know, succeed and work hard and succeed. I'm happy to see those guys, and I'm proud of those guys, the way they played last night. And, you know, a lot of pressure was on those guys last night with knowing they needed a win to really kind of solidify their first round. You know, they did what they had to do to get the W. So, you know, a locker room, it's just fun to see those guys. They blare the music, they dance, they celebrate after every win. It doesn't matter if it's a region win or whatever win it is. They're excited and they're pumped up no matter what.
Jordan Vasquez, one of the three seniors on this year's team, scores 19 points, knocks down four shots from deep last night in the win. Again, this is a kid that you and I have talked about before, but he's so important to the production and the pace of this offense, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, if he's shooting the ball well, I mean, it takes our offense to a whole nother level. You know, he was not shooting the ball extremely well early last night, and they were shooting free throws, and I put my arm around him, and I said, hey, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to not let everybody in the gym know that you're not hitting shots just by, you know, kind of how he's holding himself. And you know, and after that, he stepped it up on defense and started, you know, playing better defense, and then he went down and hit two shots within a minute of the end of the first half, and his buzzer beater at the end of the second quarter put us up by one. So it was, you know, we closed on like, I can't remember what it was. We were down 10 at one point, ended up just going on a run and taking the lead out for the half. But he was a big part of that, and then he, you know, hit a couple more shots in the second half and kind of got us going a little bit. But you're right. He's a guy that he can attack the hoop. He can finish unbelievably well for the size he is, and he can shoot from the outside, and he can you know, hit a couple at any given moment. So
you mentioned how you were really nervous. You guys faced with a deficit at the end of that first quarter. What was the big difference in the second and third quarters where you guys took control of that game last night?
Our defense settled down in the second quarter, and you know, we cleaned up a few stuff in between, you know, on that break between the first and second quarter. And cleaned up a few stuff. I got them settled down a little bit, and they came out and played a heck of a lot better defense, rebound the ball better. And we ran the floor a little bit better, kind of like we were, you know, we had planned to run the floor a little more than we have in the past. And I thought we did that a lot better. But it was mainly our defense in that second quarter. In that third quarter, I think we outscored them, what was it, 22-10 in the third, if I remember right, or I can't remember, something like that. But you know, our defense held them, and when you're playing good defense, your offense just starts clicking. So, you know, the defensive changes and the defensive scheme of things kind of, you know, started going our way, and you know, we just kind of didn't look back from there very much. So,
again, we're being joined right now by Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbonetto Boys Basketball Squad. Coach, you guys played so many road games on the early portion of this league schedule, and now you get to finish at home. It's so difficult to win on the road anyway, but when you play in a region that's this close, I mean, your guys' schedule at the beginning of the year was really, really difficult when you consider those road games. Is it nice to be able to finish this out at home?
Oh, it's fantastic to be able to go three in a row at home to close that region. You know, whether people think about it or not, it's hard to go on the road in region and win. It doesn't matter how good you are. You got to show up. I was always taught that when you're on a road game, you start out down 10 just for having home court advantage for the other team, you know. So you're going in pretty much down 10. It's a battle the whole way. And you know, fans and just the atmosphere is different on the road. And, you know, playing in a different gym, it's just a lot of things add up. And it's hard. And it seemed like we were, you know, playing three on the road for every one at home early in the year, and so it didn't help the situation. But I mean, you're right. It's really nice to you know, end with three at home. You know, three winnable games at home, and if we can do that and gain a little momentum going into that first round, I mean, that'd be fantastic.
Plus minus in points scored compared to, you know, points against, that's a statistic that can really, really be screwed. I mean, you have to take a look at what it is and actually look at games and look at the margin of defeats and the margin of victories to get a clear grasp on that statistic. It's one that can be altered. But at the same time, when I look at what you guys have accomplished, points scored to points against, you're plus two. And I think that's a testament to how difficult this region is and how, you know, how much parity is in this region, Coach, because you guys really haven't been blown out of any region contest. You're 4-6 in league play, and that plus minus is two? I mean, that right there is a telling stat.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that just kind of shows that we've been, you know, we've been in most of the games. You know, there was two games that got away from us a little bit. You know, we went to Delta, and we let a kid go off for like 35 on us, and it got away. I mean, we still battled, and we, you know, cut it, but, you know, end score didn't, you know, was kind of looked like a blowout, I guess. And then when we went to Providence Hall just the other day, it was, you know, they had their way with us, and we didn't shoot the ball well. We really didn't do anything that well. But other than those two games, I mean, we're right there with a lot of games. You know, we played Union the first time, we were there, but you're right. And you look at some of the scores other than us. You know, most of them are pretty close. You know, you got UAV, who's been in most of their games, most of their losses. You know, they've been right there with a chance to win, and or, you know, giving themselves a chance to win in the end. But it is a tough region. Anything can happen on any given night. You know, that Mazer Prep team, they're a big team and they're scrappy, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, one of their last few games they go in and steal one from a top, you know, one of the higher ranked teams in the region. So it's gonna be fun to watch how it comes down the wire.
Coach, if we look at where we're sitting at right now as far as region play goes and having the final three games at home and how much of a factor that can really play. I mean, Juab, that's a game that I know you're probably still looking back on. That one probably hurts. I mean, let's just be honest. Losing the way you guys lost at the end of that contest and knowing that you're just one game back of Juab in the loss column right now. But really, you guys have an opportunity to climb up into getting that four. I'd say that a four spot is really realistic for this team, considering that you guys had a five-game losing skid at one point in time this season. I mean, these two final games, it could really be a huge boost for this team. It's kind of amazing that you could still climb to be a four seed.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And that Juab, funny you mentioned that Juab loss, because I actually don't tell my people I work for, but I was kind of watching that during one of my weightlifting classes. But I was watching that, and, you know, we didn't shoot the ball well and still gave ourselves a chance to win in the end. And that Jordan Vasquez just got ran over on that game winning three, and the refs kind of just looked the other way with it. And so, you know, it didn't go our way, but that's not the reason we lost. But yeah, that four seed, we're right there. If we can just take care of business, you know, I think we can have a really, really good shot at getting that four seed. I think if we get the four seed, you play a number two from that northern region. So, you know, and that's something we need to strive for. We don't want to settle for, you know, a six or a five. You know, we need to be, you know, shooting as high as we can and you know, finishing as high as we can in the region.
Coach, I'm always interested in the progression, and especially when you go into the postseason where it's a one-game tournament. Progression throughout the year, I think, is probably the most important thing to look at. Comparing now to the beginning of league play, I mean, have you seen enough progression to be happy with where the team is at right now?
I feel kind of like that's a loaded question, I guess. No, I know you didn't do that on purpose, but I just look at it as I'm happy in some aspects. I'm not happy in other aspects, you know.
Sure.
I wish we could be a little smarter at time, you know, higher basketball IQ. But on the other hand, I see a lot of young guys that are stepping up and giving us some really, really good minutes. And when we sub some guys in off the bench, we're not losing a whole lot, you know. And in some areas, we're, you know, maybe gaining a little bit more. And I don't know, it's kind of a wash when you sub guys, you know, at least, you know, two or three of them. You know, overall, you know, I'm happy with how hard my team's worked. There's been quite a few games that I feel like we, you know, should have won had maybe we've made a few different choices on the floor. But you know, I'm happy with kind of where we're at right now, and the path that, you know, we're giving ourselves the opportunity to take, if that makes sense. But you know, it's like we talked earlier. You know, if we start get a little confidence build up in our offense and start playing how I know we're capable of playing, we can hang with anybody. And even though the record might not say that, but I really believe that we can hang with anybody and give ourselves a chance to win.
Well, and I definitely feel this year going into the state tournament, we are going to see a team, maybe a 3-4, maybe even a 5 seed, someone's going to cause some sort of problems in the bracket. There's going to be some chaos based on a team that's a lower seed based on the fact that the parity has been so great. I truly believe that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, I could see a Providence Hall going into the state tournament and upsetting a few people. I could see an Emory, you know, out of that region there. What are they sitting right now? 4 or 5?
Yeah.
You know, I could see them going in and catching fire. And if Emory starts shooting the ball well, not many people can run with them. But yeah, I can definitely see one of these lower seeds. I'm gonna even mention us. You know, we get our shooters going and get our swag back on offense a little bit, like I know we can. We could throw some upsets out there, and it's going to be fun to watch. So,
well, Coach, I always look forward to the conversation. Always enjoy it. Thank you again for taking time for us here today on the show, and best of luck as you guys close out the season next week. Hopefully we can get you back on before the state tournament.
Well, thanks for having me, and thank you for everything you do.
Always my pleasure, Coach. That's Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbondale Boys Basketball Squad taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. We've got a break for just a moment. More local high school basketball talk is coming up. Again, if you missed it last night here on KOL, the Emory Spartans atop the North San Pete Hawks on the road, picking up their first road region win of the season. And it came at the perfect time for this team. Kyson Stilson was named player of the game. And if you missed that interview, it's coming up here in just a moment here on Drive Time Sports.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
Hi, this is Jeannie Hunt, physician assistant with Gagan Family Medicine. With 2018 beginning, I'd like to remind you that focusing on positive choices helps you accomplish your goals. Try enjoying your favorite healthy foods and being active with family and friends, doing the things you enjoy. As you move forward into 2018, find the positive changes you can make to help lead you to a healthier, happier you. Call Gagan Family Medicine for an appointment today at 613-2200. New patients are welcome.
In movies, when someone at a party jumps into a pool fully dressed, everyone cheers them on and jumps in too. Just so you know, in real life parties, nobody jumps in after you. You just look stupid.
Come on, jump in. Come on.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Time now to take a look and see what's playing on the big screens here in Price. Continuing at the Price Theater is The Greatest Showman. The Greatest Showman celebrates the birth of show business and tells of a visionary who rose from nothing to create a spectacle. The Greatest Showman is rated PG. New to the King Cool Theater is Maze Runner, The Death Cure. Thomas leads some escaped gladers on their final and most dangerous mission yet. Maze Runner is rated PG-13. Also new to the King Cool Theater is Hostiles. In 1982, a legendary army captain reluctantly agrees to escort a Cheyenne chief and his family through dangerous territory. Hostiles is rated R. And continuing at the King Cole Theater is Jumanji. 4 teenagers discover an old video game console and are literally drawn into the game's jungle setting, becoming the adult avatars they choose. Jumanji is rated PG-13. For showtimes, call the movie hotline at 650-0500. Enjoy a night out at your local movie theaters.
ABC Radio News covers the world at the top of the hour, every hour, on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 7:50 AM.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. I wanted to save this segment for an athlete. Now, we always talk to the local coaches. Every day we have a local coach on the show. Not too often do we get to talk to the actual kids because typically when the show is going on, they're in practice or they're on the road. So last night, following the win over North St. Pete for the Emory High School boys basketball squad, Kyson Stilson joined us at the broadcast booth. He had a tremendous game, 27 points, 8 rebounds. Here's his post-game interview last night right here on KOAL. Kyson, first off, congratulations on a fantastic performance and a big win for the team.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much, Jordan. Huge win, first region win on the road. Huge for our young team.
Definitely is. You go down to the final four games. I was talking to Coach Jeffs about this earlier today, and he had mentioned that you got to get a win on the road. I mean, that's what you guys had to do. Tonight, North St. Pete, a team that was also 3-6 on the season, there was a lot of cluster at the bottom, so this is a huge division win, by far the most important game of the season up to this point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This was a must win, as they say. If we lose this, you know, we're down towards the bottom of the region. If we win this, you know, we're up back fighting for second, third.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about one crucial stretch. I believe North St. Pete managed to get the lead down to 6, I believe is what it was, Scott. Timeout was taken on the court. You come out, you score 7 straight points, and the lead goes back up to 13. Talk about that stretch, because that was definitely the game changer. I mean, they had momentum. You had a foul in one, and then you had back-to-back buckets at the rim.
The game just happened to play my way. I mean, any of us out there could have done it. I mean, they just fouled me, got the calls. I mean, Easton could have taken to the basket, Brax, Cade, all of them could have finished, you know. It just happened, ball happened to find me, so.
Well, you definitely took care of it, that's for sure. You guys handled the press a lot better tonight than you did against South Sevier. At the end of the first half, only 3 turnovers. I think you guys finished with 11 for the game. And that's a manageable number. Coach Jeffs told me you guys put a lot of effort into breaking the press in practice throughout the week.
Oh, yeah, we worked really hard this week. That was kind of embarrassing down in South Sevier. We should have had that one, but if we meet them again, we'll get them.
You guys had them by 12 points, I think, in the third quarter, if I remember right. You guys also had a double-digit lead in this contest in the second half, and we saw North St. Pete kind of find a way to get back in the game. Was there ever any doubt within this team? Did you guys start thinking, because it is a young team, did you start thinking, oh, no, not again?
Oh, no, definitely. We've got confidence in each other. We've got great chemistry. We've been through this before now, twice before. We lost the lead to Richfield, so now that we have a little experience of keeping that lead, you know, we got 100% confidence in each other.
That's great. That's great. Easton Gordon tonight chipped in a lot. He had 21 points in the game. You and Easton have kind of been 1-2 now for the last couple of weeks. In fact, you've been 1-2, I think, scoring-wise throughout the entire region slate up to this point.
That's awesome, man. He's been shooting the lights out. He's stepped up his game since Region Start, man. Huge credit to Easton for being that leader, that senior leader.
Yeah, he definitely has. He definitely has. And then tonight, Cade shoots lights out from downtown as well. He finishes with 17 points. Scott and I have talked about this. When Cade is on, the offense clicks on a different level.
Oh, yeah. When Cade's on, man, you know, we score 80 points a game.
Right.
It's hard to beat a team that scores 80 points a game. I mean, he's definitely essential to our team, and you saw that tonight.
You took advantage of several driving lanes that opened up. What did you see from the defense tonight?
They switched a lot, and they came out on us. I mean, they respected our three-point shot, which they definitely should. So that just opens up, and there's no help defense because of the respect. So that just opens up finishes at the basket.
Defensively, we saw some different looks from you guys tonight. A 1-3-1 with you kind of floating around in the middle. You or Easton were floating around in the middle, if I'm not mistaken. Mostly Easton, if I remember right. So, I mean, out of that 1-3-1 defensively, it's so different from that 2-3 extended zone. Do you like going to that defensive set?
I mean, I like our 2-3, but whatever it takes to win, man. They were just lighting it up on us when we were in that 2-3. So, gave them that different look, and very effective.
Yeah, you guys smashed it in, too. I mean, it was a tight 1-3-1.
Yeah, definitely. We didn't really expect a three-point shot, but, I mean, it worked out. Worked out for the better for us, so.
I think Scott hit this right on the head. That's how you want North St. Pete to beat you. If they're going to beat you, let them shoot from downtown. Don't let them pack it in the paint.
Yeah, definitely. That's what they're doing when we were in the 2-3. I think they had, like, 15 or 16 points in the paint and free throws there in the first quarter when they were right there with us. And so we packed it in, let them take more outside shots. They made us pay a couple times. I mean, those two at the very end, but
Well, yeah. When the game was well in doubt, I saw you guys kind of play to the student body as well. You guys have fun out there, that's for sure. Scott referred to you during the game as the silent competitor. He said, you know, Kyson's a kid that's going to, he's a competitor, but he's not really one of those guys that's going to rub it in your face. He's going to be silent about it. Sometimes that gets under people's skin just as much as being vocal out there.
Yeah, definitely. It's difficult. From my own personal experience, it's difficult having a kid beat you and then not tell you about it, man, because
yeah.
It gets in your head.
It does. Yeah, it definitely does. Now we go down to the final three regular season games. Manti and Grant at home, got to travel on the road to San Juan. Manti, that was a tough game when we went on the road to Manti. I mean, there was a slow start, managed to get back within striking distance, and then they took care of business from that point on. I know they got a different look. The Barson kid is not going to be playing throughout the rest of the year because of a broken ankle, and you guys get him at home now. All in all, what stands out to you as we prepare for Manti on Friday?
You know, I wish that kid was still – I wish he didn't break his ankle. I mean, like, not to be rude or anything, but I'd rather beat a team when they're at their best.
Sure, yeah.
But, I mean, they beat us with that press, and so we've been working on that, and I think that we've improved quite a bit.
It's a tough stretch. I mean, Manti, Grand, San Juan – it's a tough stretch. It definitely is. We're used to finishing the season, it seems like, on the road at San Juan. But the way things are shaping out, I mean, every game from here on out is going to make the difference in being a 2-seed, to being a 6-seed, to maybe not even making the tournament.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
That tight.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Our region is it's stacked this year, man. There's no off nights. If you take a night off, you'll get beat by 20. You've seen that. And so we can't take a night off. We got to work hard every day in practice.
Is this the most satisfying win of the season?
Yeah, I'd say definitely, yeah.
It's always, what have you done for me lately, right? That's the way it works. So the last one's always the sweetest, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Kyson, I know you got a long ride home. It is a school night, so I'm going to let you go. But I do appreciate you taking out the time to stop by the booth. Congratulations on the win tonight.
Thanks, Jordan.
Again, that's Kyson Stilson of the Emory Sport and Boys Basketball Team. His post-game interview from last night as Emory picked up the win over North St. Pete. Quick segment here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to take one more break. We'll come back and start talking Super Bowl 52 right after this.
At Emory Medical Center, patients are like family. They offer the most comprehensive care around, including on-site x-rays and lab work, helping you get quality health care at one convenient location. Emory Medical now has extended hours to better serve you. Open Monday through Thursday, 7 a.m. until 7 p.m., and Fridays, 7 till 5. To make an appointment with one of the trusted providers, please call 381-2305. Emory Medical Center, your friends, your neighbors, your providers.
When talking about service, I'm sure you'll concur. It's actions that speak louder than words. So with my money, every red cent, I trust these folks 100%. Eastern Utah Community Credit Union.
Now that Christmas has come and gone, are you left with several high-rate credit card bills due in January? At Eastern Utah Community Credit Union, they have a great low-rate alternative to all those high-interest rate cards. You can roll over several balances to either their Premier or Extra Awards Visa card and extend your payment due date an extra month. There are no annual fees, and for a limited time, you can earn 1 point for every dollar you transfer or have your balance transfer fee waived. You can spend the points you earn for gift cards, hotel stays, or cash in your pocket. They're easy to earn and even easier to use. At Eastern Utah Community Credit Union, you can depend on us to help you start this new year off right.
Membership and eligibility required. NCUA insured. Loans approved on credit. Equal housing lender.
Eastern Utah Community Credit Union. Depend on us.
As a farmer, you need a highly efficient irrigation solution that's strong, durable, easy to use, and a perfect fit for your field. You need the Lindsay Advantage. Zenmatic by Lindsay Pivots and Laterals are built for growers like you who need a wide range of options for different field sizes and terrain. Basin Irrigation is your Zenmatic dealer that can help you choose your pivot point, spans, tower structure, and control panel. Create a highly efficient machine engineered just for you. Basin Irrigation can help you with your total irrigation plans and designs. Call today, 722-3200. Get a reliable irrigation system you can depend on.
News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straight away three ball. Good! Phillip Winston with the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go, here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk, 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL.
Sure, today's automobiles are made to be more fuel efficient. Ethanol has been added to 97% of most fuels. If you're driving an older vehicle, the ethanol may be causing problems. Alcohol is a highly corrosive substance that's hard on plastic, rubber, and even some metals. Pilot Thomas Logistics sells ethanol-free gasoline. Ethanol-free gasoline will help that older engine run the way it's supposed. Pilot Thomas is open to the public and also refills propane tanks. Stop by Pilot Thomas Logistics, 352 West Main in Price.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Beagles.
Final segment on this Thursday edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm going to move over and talk Super Bowl 52. Hey, at this stage in the game, you've probably heard every preview, everything that you need to know and more about the Super Bowl. But Travis, I'm always curious to get your take on it when we're talking about the New England Patriots because, again, you're a Tom Brady fan, to say the least. You expect this game to be fairly lopsided, and looking at it on paper, I'm actually becoming more and more optimistic that Philadelphia can pull this game out by the day. But there is one thing I wanted to point out. For as dominant as Tom Brady has been in the Super Bowl, okay, and this game has nothing to do with legacy. I hate that hyperbole. I hate it.
Legacy talk.
I hate it. I hate legacy talk in sports. Look, his legacy cemented. He's the greatest quarterback that's ever lived. But with that being said, you and I went back and we were recapping some of his Super Bowls. And we've been alive for all of them. And I think that's something else that is really important when you're talking about the legacy of Tom Brady. Because I have conversations with people all the time about Michael Jordan. Half the people I talk to about Michael Jordan, younger kids, I should say, half the younger people I talk to about Michael Jordan, they didn't get to see him play in all six NBA finals. Everyone who can have a relevant conversation about this game has seen Tom Brady play in every single Super Bowl dating back to 2001, right? So we know what comes with Tom Brady Super Bowls. They're always entertaining. Like for the fact that this guy has five Super Bowl rings, and you can't point out one Super Bowl that he has played in, win or lose, that has not been entertaining. They have all come down to the wire, every single one of them.
Yeah, all five. The margin, if you combine all five, is 12 points.
And isn't that something?
They haven't scored. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in their five Super Bowls, they have not scored a point in the first quarter. Not one point.
Yeah, that's insane.
And that's insane. It's incredible that this team hasn't scored a point in the first quarter of a Super Bowl.
So I go back and I'm looking at the lines from the Super Bowl at kickoff. Okay, we go back to the Super Bowl 36, Patriots-Rams. Rams were favored by 14 in that game, and everyone expected that to be a blowout because, hands down, the Rams were the more talented team, yet New England found a way to get a win. Scored a defensive touchdown. That was the key in that game. They scored a defensive touchdown.
Ty Law, right?
Yep, Ty Law. That was the difference in that game. The next Super Bowl that they go to, just a couple of years later, Super Bowl 38, 32-29 Patriot win over Carolina. Okay, so they beat the Rams by three. They beat the Panthers by three. New England was favored by seven. Didn't cover the spread.
132-29 on the Vinatieri kick.
Okay, the next year they go back to the Super Bowl. They take on the Eagles. New England favored by seven. They beat Philadelphia 24-21. And Donovan McNabb was really good in that game. Better than history will suggest. You go back and you look at the statistics and you look at the plays that McNabb made. He was pretty good in that game. But again, a three-point win for the Patriots.
Yeah, McNabb, I believe in the first quarter, he had a fumble, a strip sack, and he had an interception, but he played really well. Terrell Owens was a beast in that game. Yeah. It's a game Philadelphia was in it, but in the end, what, Vinatieri again?
Then we go to the Giants, 2008. Okay.
This one stings if you're a Patriot fan.
New England's favored by 12.5, undefeated going into the game. They suffer a 17-14 loss. David Tyree was terrific. Again, three-point margin. Again. So we're only halfway through when you take a look at it. No game has been decided by more than three for Tom Brady Super Bowls into his career. Let's go to the next time they play the New York Giants. This was back in 2012. 21-17 loss. Four-point game. Again, excellent Super Bowl. New England was favored by three in that contest.
The Wes Welker drop on third down.
Yep. That was the difference in the game.
That's the difference, yeah.
He comes up with that catch, they win. I can always play the what-if game against opposing teams in the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But with the Patriots, even in the games that they have lost, even the games they have won, you play the what-if game on them because every single Super Bowl has been one possession. You get past that game. They go to the they play the Seahawks back in 2015. It was a pick'em line, and for some oddball reason, Darren Bevell, who no longer has a job in Seattle, who has not really picked up much steam to become a head coach over the past years before he was let go in Seattle, comes up with a call to have Russell Wilson throw on the one-yard line. Do not try to justify that call. It was stupid. It resulted in a win for the Patriots. You play the what-if game there. But again, the final score, 28-24 Patriots win. It was a pick 'em line.
3-year anniversary of that play today.
And then we go to last year. They're down 28-3. They're favored by 3. They cover the spread because they get a touchdown in overtime. They beat the Falcons 34-28. So we could talk about the dominance of the Patriots. They are the ultimate what if. Because I'm looking at the going back and realistically looking at their history in the Super Bowl. Yeah, you could say they probably should have beat the Giants both times. You could make the case Tom Brady could be 0-4 in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he could. He could have 7 or he could have 1. Two.
Or none.
I mean,
they've all been one-possession games.
Yeah, the what-if game is crazy to think about because Mario Manningham makes that incredible catch on the sideline, and then they go down and score, and then you have Tyree's helmet catch, and then you have last year Atlanta just melts down. You have Seattle juggling catches and slant patterns and all sorts of wackiness. Carolina, they had a chance to win that one as well.
Yeah,
so.
I'm with you. This is something, the greatest dynasty in the NFL, there's no question about it. They have found ways to win close games.
That's all matters.
And so thinking that this Super Bowl is going to be a blowout, when I believe this is the most suspect Patriots defense that has been to the Super Bowl in quite some time, history suggests that this is really going to be an entertaining contest. I think it is. I think we have a fun game on our hands on Sunday.
I think it's 31-17, somewhere around there. I think the Patriots pull away. I think Nick Foles throws a first quarter interception, and I think that will rattle him because Nick Foles is all about confidence, and I think that will be the breaking point for Philadelphia.
One possession games in every Super Bowl that they have played in. Fairly phenomenal. We'll talk more about Super Bowl 52 on the show tomorrow. We're going to be joined by Brian Mejia. I definitely want to thank Coach Kyle Wilson for taking out the time to join us on the show today. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same place. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out. So you think it's a good idea to go out to a nice lunch with your coworkers until the bill arrives. Now you play that game of hot potato until someone takes out a second mortgage to pay the bill. Well, you don't have to break the bank to have a nice lunch. During the month of February, lunch is only $10 at the Carbon Country Club. This lunch special includes the clubhouse sandwiches all the way to the grilled hamburgers, the battered fish and chips, and even the salads. Plus, it comes with a drink. Take advantage of the Carbon Country Club's $10 lunch special, Wednesday through Friday from 11 to 2 p.m.
No one likes to shovel snow. What's even worse is when you let the snow pile up because you have a snowblower that can handle any storm Mother Nature throws at you, and then it doesn't start. Don't let this happen to you this winter. Take your snowblower to Scott's Small Engine Repair. Scott will prepare or fix your snowblower so it's ready to work when the first big snowstorm hits. Scott's Small Engine Repair, 2832 South Highway 10 in Price. Call 435-637-2562 to schedule an appointment. Scott's Small Engine Repair, where experience counts.
Nothing draws a crowd quite like a basketball game. And your USU Eastern Eagles are taking the court this Saturday. Live action will begin at 3 p.m. with the women's game, followed by the men at 5:30. Come on out to the BDAC and give our Eagles the home court advantage they deserve as they take on the College of Southern Idaho. Get your tickets at the BDAC and get ready for a night of high energy and quick action as the USU Eastern Eagles dominate the court. Come on out and support your Eagles this Saturday beginning at 3 p.m. We'll see you there.
For over 50 years, News Talk KOAL's Barter Bar has helped listeners buy, sell, and trade from everyday common items to the unusual. You'll hear it on Barter Bar. Holding a yard sale? Looking for furniture? Or want to trade your car? Put it on Barter Bar, online and on air. Barter Bar, a Castle Country tradition. Weekday mornings at 9:30 on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL. News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straight away three ball. Good! Phillip Winston from the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM, KOAL. Serving all of Eastern Utah, this is News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, KOAL. Price.
Blast.
Including, says Los Angeles County USC Medical Center surgeon Aaron Strumwasser, a 15-year-old boy shot in the head.
This child was extremely lucky. The trajectory of the bullet did not hit any vital structures that were an immediate threat to life.
Two other students suffered graze wounds. Just 1 week until the next federal shutdown. No word of an agreement on immigration and the so-called Dreamers. At a Republican policy retreat in West Virginia, President Trump.
We have a chance now to pass into law the immigration